Okay, I'll come back to you. Janet Coburn.
Yes, Janet Coburn, KPFA. Pacifica governance is membership-based, and so I don't understand what the relationship would be between the programmer and membership and governance, et cetera. For example, would the donors to the programmer be members of WBAI? The local station board is elected by its membership, by WBAI's membership. What about, you know, is there going to be a WBAI membership? And then the local station board elects national board members, so, you know, there are ramifications there. So that's one of the main things I wanted to find out. Well, I think I understand what Mitchell's question was. We go into a PSOA agreement, and it's a lease agreement, and it has an end date, and at that end date, the control goes back to Pacifica or to BAI or Pacifica. So I think what he's asking is how many examples are there of that the control goes back to the leasee, I don't know, the lesser, and not sold. I mean, it's just that
okay.
It goes back.
Okay, so I'll take the second question first. Pacifica is the licensee. If the agreement ends, the licensee is still the licensee. The licensee is the licensee throughout the entire term. If the agreement for the programmer ends, then the licensee will have to program all the time itself. It will not be hiring the programmer to do the programming. So, I mean, that's natural. That's what happens in these agreements. At the end of the term, Pacifica is responsible for programming the station, unless they hire someone else or engage someone else to do it.
How many examples are there of that
kind? I can't give you an example.
Do you personally know of one?
Yes. I mean, I know of situations where stations have entered into local marketing agreements. That's what they're called, local marketing agreements. Let me highlight, like I did last night, this is not a lease. A lease is between a landlord and a tenant. Lease is a dirty word at the FCC. We do not lease the station. The licensee is controlling what goes on. They have two employees there or two staff there who are monitoring what the programmer is doing. You know, if the programmer does something wrong and they let slip the F word, the licensee is going to pay that bill. It's the licensee's obligation for everything that goes out over the air. So this is not a lease. One of the other questions you had was, this is a membership organization, and the local station board is electing the national board members. Pacifica is the licensee. Pacifica is governed by the national board. Local members elect people who serve on the national board. So the national board is who governs the licensee.
Yes, but that was not my question. Mm-hmm. Who are the members? Are the people who donate money to the leaser?
They're donating to the station.
I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about their membership. Are they? Because the previous member here asked about a client list. So is the client list the membership, and does it belong to the PSOA, or does it belong to
the station?
So if members are, you have donations by members, are there donations by non-members?
Yes.
So, you know, that would really be a situation you'd have to iron out in the contract.
Okay, no.
Janet, I'm sorry, we have to go on. I apologize.
She's not made that clear, though.
It's okay, that's fine. Hopefully someone else will make it clear. We're not doing a stack. We're doing a round, and thank you.
So I get online?
Hold on. Go ahead, Tej.
Okay. Buenos dias and good morning. I have a question.
Who are you, please?
My name is Tej Grewal, and my question revolves around...
From where?
I'm from KPFK, and with the non-commercial education license and the mission statement about education for the foundation. My question is going to revolve around that aspect about education. The 14th Amendment says that education is not nationalized. It's left up to each state, so education can serve its communities. And I was wondering, is there a connection, because this is federal communications and the license is regarding education, is there any type of connection with being able to or not being able to nationalize programming that goes beyond a signal area of one of the radio stations in a different state, because it's revolving around education and there's the amendment that education is left up individually to the state to serve the communities?
The FCC gives the licensees just about complete discretion over how they program their stations. When they first get their license, they have to show how their programs meet their educational mission. That could be, it's varied. It goes all over as far as nonprofits who get licenses. It can be serving the needs of the community by recognizing eclectic music that's not served by, you know, the top 40 commercial stations. It could be giving a voice to those that wouldn't normally be heard on commercial radio. It could be a religious station, which has its own mission, but it has to be educational in the sense of teaching. There are all, I mean, you can have a non-commercial educational station that is only music formatted, but it's providing music that isn't heard on commercial radio. So once you get your license, the FCC does not ever want to get into programming. I can tell you many times members of the public object to license renewals because someone changed the format. FCC will deny it every time. So when you talk about 14th Amendment, and it just isn't an issue for
education being left up to, it's not nationalized is the point.
And it's that being Pacifica.
A federal thing. I didn't know if there was a connection with this communication.
Okay,
thank you.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Here we go.
Of course, I don't need it at all.
No, we got it.
We got it.
Okay.
Oh.
Would you
okay,
like to
yeah, this.
And I
she'll
have that one.
To take
your
right.
Thank you very much.
No,
I have to have it closer to me.
Okay. That's all right. Okay. So let me remind people what we're doing here. We're going around the table. Board members are going to get to ask questions. There were board members who were not at the table when their turn came up. I will call on them, but that's it. You get one shot at this. If your question has not been answered, if you don't think that Melody understood your question, I would suggest you write it out and bring it here so she can look at it, and we'll see what we can do. I will alternate between calling on board members and members of the public. So, and members of the public, if you want to speak, come up to the mic so I know you want to speak. The next person who gets to ask a question is Jim Brown.
I'll pass. My questions have been answered.
Thank you very much. Okay, someone from the public.
Hi, Melody. I'd like to just get some clarification, quick answers on some misunderstanding.
You have 1 minute.
I understand. That's why I'm asking for quick answers. There was some confusion about the difference between contractual clauses, provisions in a contract, versus what's legal or not legal. So we know what's legal is, you know, the Constitution, the laws, judge-made rulings, administrative rulings from agencies like the FCC. That's the legal environment that we exist in. But then there's the contractual environment in which we create ourselves by negotiating with a potential LMA entity. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. We had the then there's a question of what's in the bylaws as opposed to what's in the law. As a matter of the bylaws, is it the case that our executive director, we spoke last night about the analogy of Pacifica being a burning building, the LMA is the trampoline that we're going to jump out of the building onto the trampoline that we hope may be there. Is it the sole discretion of the executive director to decide when we jump?
No, that's the decision of the board, and the executive director implements the decisions of the board.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now back to the table. The next person is Janice.
I have no questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to the audience. Bob Letterer.
First, a question to the chair. How many more minutes in this session, and will the public be permitted to make comments before any further board discussion about what action to take?
Let me see. Let me look at my agenda. Hold on 1 second. This bills. We have until noon, so we have another 35, almost 40 minutes.
Okay, and will the audience be able to, will the public be able to talk about our views on what action the board should take about this?
Well, why not? We'll do that. We'll figure that out.
So we'll have a second round for public input.
Sure.
Okay, great. So to Melody, just to follow up on the earlier question someone asked about how a PSOA would affect voting membership in Pacifica. So the bylaws say if you give $25 in a 12-month period or volunteer for 3 hours, you are a voting member in whatever election falls during that period. So if the PSOA was granted, the entity now programs and they raise money on the air and elsewhere. So when person X sends their $25 check to the entity, does that continue to comply with the Pacifica bylaws as meaning that that person is a member of WBAI, or how does that work legally?
Good question. There's probably going to be the membership element where you, as you mentioned, you would pay your $25 or volunteer. The programmer is under a different organizational structure. And one of the questions I got here kind of talks about that question. So it's they're going to have different obligations under their own governance structure. They do not have to adopt Pacifica's organizational structure. Is that what your question is?
Not exactly.
Okay.
I guess I'm asking whose money, if I'm a member of the public and I donate $25 to WBAI at that point, am I donating it to the Pacifica Foundation, or am I donating it to XYZ entity that now is the programmer?
It depends on how the donation is made. So if it's donated to the station, it would go to the station operations. If it's donated to Pacifica, it would go to Pacifica.
No, I meant to the station.
Mm. So if it's to the station, it would go towards the operations of the station.
But would that, I guess what I'm trying to clarify is if the entity has an on-air fund drive, we need your support to keep the station going, would they then solicit checks and credit card to themselves or to the made out to WBAI/Pacifica? Because that seems to be the determining factor as to whether you are a member legally of Pacifica.
That would only go towards WBAI. It would not go towards the programmer. But, I mean, the programmer would be collecting that money and using that money to put it back into the station.
So legally, then, the person would be a member of WBAI. Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Too many people talking.
What was? Say your question again.
So am I understanding, then, that the person who donates would be a member of WBAI by donating in response to an appeal from the entity?
I can honestly say I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Janice passed. Lydia Brazon, do you have a question for the lawyer? Hey, stop talking back there.
A point of procedure, if I may.
Okay.
If someone on the board does not wish to speak or pass, could you call on another person rather than go directly?
No, yeah. I'm alternate.
I see.
Okay, fine. Okay. Lydia, do you have any questions? Who are you?
Lydia Brazon, KPFK. Did I understand you to say, excuse me, that it is fairly common to very common to have that first right of refusal on the part of not the licensee, but the programmer.
Yes. It's very common. It's not always, but it's, you know, a lot.
Is that like their incentive?
It is their incentive because they're investing their time and money and taking the risk to develop a program for the station, and they're assuming the risk of the costs. And usually to protect their investment, they would want either a right of first refusal or an option. Now, that would operate differently. So, for instance, if they had an option, Pacifica doesn't control the timing on when that option gets exercised. It would be up to the programmer, or the programmer has the right to or to not to exercise the option. If it's a right of first refusal, then it really just protects the programmer in the sense that the Pacifica, they don't have a right to ask to buy the station. It's just if Pacifica were to decide to sell the station at some point in the future, the programmer would have a right to match that offer. And I normally tell my clients who are in the licensee situation that that's an albatross, because no third party, or very rarely would a third party ever want to make it, go to the trouble of making an offer to buy the station if they know that someone can just match it. So it's really a disincentive for people to make offers to buy the station, because it would, they put a lot of effort into it, and then why bother? Because as soon as they put all that work into the offer, someone else can match it, which would be the program would have that right. But it protects the programmer if the board decided to sell the station, then they can protect their investment.
Thank you.
Please.
Oh.
Well, let's let her wait till the end of the...
It explains two of the questions already on the floor that haven't been answered.
Okay.
It covers them.
All right.
Well, I can take the two questions that I've been handed and try to see if that
okay,
answers...
Okay, let's let this member of the public speak first, and then you can
okay.
do that. Okay.
My name is Sabine Duan. I'm a listener member of WPFW. I just have a clarifying question about the confidentiality clause. I still don't understand, is that a standard way of standard business in this type of request for proposals? And if yes, I think it gives much more... right to the people or the whoever submits a proposal to not have their identity disclosed, but it makes the decision for the public, and that is the listener members, the supporters of the radio station, much harder to make an informed decision if they want to support such a lease or not. And I wanted to know if that's a standard in these kind of agreements.
Thank you, Sabine.
When people make offers, this is just generally, when businesses make offers to enter into a deal with a licensee, it's very standard to be confidential. Because, for instance, let's say you have staff at the station, they get nervous. They find out that they're on the block, mm-hmm. and they... listeners get turned off or go away. It does usually require confidentiality to at least get to the point where they're saying, okay, let's do it, let's do the deal. So that's why they have confidentiality.
Okay. Hank, did you have a question?
This is Hank Lamp, KPFT, Houston, Texas, 90.1 FM. kpft.org if you want to listen online. I hope everybody is listening, because this, even though it's a turmoil, this is probably a watershed moment in the history of Pacifica again. So I want to kind of go over a couple of key points that I think you've already covered. I've heard a couple of them, but I would like them to be kind of lumped together so that people get a picture. We cannot raise funds at the same time as the other organization. Is that correct? Over the airwaves?
Pacifica can reserve time to do the on-air fundraiser. The station, under its license, can only raise money for itself. So the programmer cannot raise money for itself on WBAI or whatever the station is, because it can only raise money for that station.
So both entities cannot raise money on the same.
Oh, Pacifica can, because Pacifica is the licensee.
Both entities can't. Can the new entity the new raise entity, money while we raise money?
No. The new entity can organize the fund drive, but they can only ask for money to be raised to to WBAI.
Okay. Thank you.
Pacifica. Or be it. Yeah, he can only go to the station.
Okay,
sorry.
So how is the other organization going to have money to operate?
The other organization would get their money to operate the station from that fund drive because the money is given to WBAI and only the costs associated with operating the station can be solicited on air. Now, they could solicit in other ways. They can solicit off air. They can solicit through festivals and events that they might do. But to use the air, the broadcast time can only be used to raise money for the station.
So I guess the crux of all my questions is, if one entity could not raise the money to support one station, how are two supposed to do it?
There
while
are,
one keeps part of the money.
The programmer would be able to use... they are trying to use the station to either further their own brand, possibly to get economies of scale because maybe they have a location in the same place and you can share staff. The staff could be doing programming for both entities. So there are ways that you save money by doing that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
There were these two questions.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Okay.
Let's see. Does the licensee inherit the governance structure of Pacifica? Does the lessee inherit the governance structure of Pacifica, i.e., our local station boards and their privileges in selecting general managers and program directors? If yes, what part of that structure? First of all, it's not the lessee. It's the programmer. But the programmer does not inherit the governance structure of Pacifica. The programmer does the programming. The programmer pays for the facilities. Pacifica does what it does under its own governance structure. The programmer does what it has to do under its own governance structure.
Excuse me, but part of the agreement is that WBAI, I can't keep the other words straight, has to provide two employees.
Right.
Right. And so that could be accomplished. There's no reason that could not be accomplished through our governance structure.
Right.
We set it, and they're generally like a manager and a whatever.
Yeah, there has to be at least two full-time, I say full-time equivalent because they could be two part-timers equals one full-timer.
Right.
So we have to have two, the licensee must have two full-time equivalent employees, one of which must be managerial, who work at the station during normal business hours Monday through Friday to oversee whatever the programmer is doing. The other question I got was, you spoke to on-air fundraising. Is there a different rule, Ray, off-air, e.g. social media, website, and direct mail fundraising? Is this a negotiable? So, yes. All I've been talking about is on-air fundraising. There is no... The FCC does not govern what the programmer does off-air or what Pacifica does off-air to fundraise and social media. And it would be a topic for negotiation.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the public. William Herwagen.
I've been called Visitor B at the LSB meetings here in D.C. Just to remind you, you're not supposed to say people's names or ask for names. Okay, William Herwagen, WBAI. I understand that debt of WBAI is not recoverable under the contract, and that a benefit might be to stop the losses. I believe you said that. And then, according to our general manager, we're doing pretty well right now. Our only long-term debt, which wouldn't be recoverable, is the severance pay that Pacifica created by laying off staff to save hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's maybe good, maybe bad. But that's the only outside long-term debt. The only other long-term debt is within Pacifica. So,
okay.
What's the benefit?
I can't speak to the finances because I'm not privy to those. I haven't looked at those, but I can just tell you generally, the on-air fundraising relates to operation of the station. There could be an option that the programmer pays additional for, or a right of first refusal that the programmer pays additional for. It might be a monthly payment or a lump sum payment that is not related to the on-air programming, and that is one way in which some of the debt might be paid down.
Okay. Heather.
First of all, Melody, I want to thank you so much for all your great comments here. This might already have been explained, and I know a lot of people have concerns about programming and something that's going out over in New York, and I know you've made reference to this, but Pacifica does have oversight over the programs themselves, right? They have to be within concert of Pacifica's mission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. And so we do. So Pacifica does have a say, and if there are some programs that are not appreciated, and Pacifica doesn't want them on the air, that can be stated and followed through.
Yes.
Yeah.
That could be part of the contract.
That could be part of the contract. So that has to be stipulated.
Right. And I can tell you that would be a contractual point. And just in general business terms, when in these types of deals or arrangements, the programmer usually doesn't want the day-to-day meddling in the programming because they have a vision for what they think would make the station succeed. So Pacifica would be delegating to the programmer in its best judgment what to do. Pacifica has the right to say that program is not in the public interest, or there's an emergency, stop doing music, cover the hurricane that's blowing through Manhattan. And the licensee has the right to do that. It has the right to preempt the programs, to put on something that is going to serve the public interest better. And that has to do, you know, if you do it all the time, though, you're going to be breaching the contract with the programmer. So you can't rely on the fact to say, well, I just don't like that show. It has to be something that's a reasonable, this really is contrary to Pacifica's mission, it's contrary to the contract, in order to preempt it, or you have a breach of contract.
So I'm assuming that in the contract that's established, there would have to be a system set up where that ongoing communication and oversight would be part of the mix. I mean, I don't know how to say it.
Right, and that's why you have the two employees there. And usually the programmer is not going to want those two employees sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Exactly.
So they try to incorporate and use those two people to do something of substance that helps the station.
Okay, thank you very much.
Melody.
Is there a... Yes, please. You have to tuck right into it.
Melissa Ennen from New York, from WBAI. I'm going to reword the question from the fellow who just came before me and narrow it a bit. If you have said repeatedly that the incentive for Pacifica BAI to enter into such an agreement is to stop the hemorrhaging that jeopardizes the network, if BAI were to stop hemorrhaging, if WBAI were to break even, is there any other incentive for BAI to enter into it, or does the incentive disappear?
I can't speak for the motivation of the board, but the whole reason for even entertaining this concept is to stop the hemorrhaging, I would think. I can't tell you what has gone before because I've been here to ask about what FCC policy is about these things. So I can tell you that typically the reason is the licensee can't do it anymore on their own. I mean, why else do it? If you're being wildly successful, why would you give your frequency over to someone else to use?
Not wildly successful. If we were simply breaking even.
Well, as a nonprofit, the whole idea is to break even.
That's right.
And you don't want to lose money.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see, people who didn't get to ask questions previously. Carolyn, oh, I'm sorry. Adriana, go ahead.
Adriana Casnev, KPFT. LMAs are invented as a way of shortcutting or avoiding the procedure for assigning an FCC broadcast license. LMA means that it's a way to retain the license, being relieved of the station operating expenses.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what we're doing now is asking questions of the lawyer.
Until the license either resumes completely responsibility for the station or sells it. LMAs are ultimate, I'm asking you, the route to buy the license. And after 2, 3, 4, 8 years, like they were saying, the station, the Pacifica, will be, the membership will be dramatically reduced. The station will be, I mean, the membership, the station will be so short, so small that will be easy.
Adriana, you have to get to your
possible
question. You have 2 seconds.
All right, so the question is, what's the likelihood that the membership of WBAI would be substantially reduced at the end of the term of the LMA? And I have no way of knowing if what the programmer is doing is liked by the membership of New York, then it might increase. If they don't like what they're doing, then it could very well be decreased.
No, but the question is, the LMAs, are the ultimate route to buy a license?
They can be a route to buy the station. They don't have to be a route to buy the station. It's whatever the deal that's negotiated.
Okay. Now,
one question, madam.
There was also a paper question.
Hang on. I'm waiting to see if there's anyone from the public who wants to ask. Okay. So go ahead. You have a paper question.
Yeah, the paper question. Can a programmer raise money off air for itself using the station name or lists direct mail? What is negotiable here? That is negotiable. It's up to Pacifica to decide whether or not they want to let the programmer use the brand. I would think that they would want to because that's a good brand. But it's negotiable.
Okay. I'm not going to call. Let's see. Did you not ask a question?
I haven't asked any questions.
Okay. I didn't ask a question.
Okay. So I'm getting to you. I'm just checking. You didn't ask a question. Okay. Go ahead.
But I have a procedural question before I ask my question.
Okay.
I have a motion.
Yes, I saw it.
And I'd like to know when would be a good time.
I think as soon as we complete this round, then we'll go into formal discussion and your motion would be appropriate at that time.
Okay, so then I have another procedural question, which is that we're supposed to break in 14 minutes, and I think it's unlikely that we can get all of that done, so it would be good if we could make a decision right now about what we're doing rather than simply running up against
it. Well, do you want to offer a motion to extend?
I would move that we go into I would move that we just move everything back by 30 minutes.
Okay. So Serene has moved that we extend this session, the open session where we're going to be discussing what we're going to do by 30 minutes. Is there a second?
And then also extend lunch by 30 minutes.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
On.
It moves everything
and
forward.
And so on.
Okay.
Could we have a reason for that?
Oh, I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Motivate there your motion.
Sure. I think there are about maybe four more board members. I can't see everyone down there.
Yeah,
who have not
right.
spoken, right. including myself. And there may or may not be more from the public, but we did agree to have some discussion. And
in public
there
session.
Are, as far as I know, at least 2 motions currently sent to the board on the subject.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now do you have a...
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Let me ask.
I want to remind you that you also have a message that came in via email that you indicated you would ask and wanted to make sure it didn't fall off the plate.
Oh, yes, okay. Are there any objections to the motion to move everything up 30 minutes? Seeing none, so ordered. All right, so Serene, do you have a question to ask?
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much for being here. I'm a little unclear about some of the language. When it says that the money that these programmers can collect goes, quote, for the station. It is to cover the operations that they have set up at whatever cost, and anything over and above the basic operating costs, what exactly happens to that? Please stop the clock so I can get my answer to that. She doesn't want multiple questions in a row, right?
Okay, so the money has to be written.
Wait. I can't time two of you at the same time.
That's right. So essentially you have 3 minutes between you and Melody to ask questions and get answers. You get a minute, she gets 2 minutes. Okay? So that's how it goes.
I lost 10 seconds just
now. It's all right. Okay. So we'll give you extra 10 seconds. Go ahead, Melody.
So now that I've forgotten the question, I'm sorry. What happens to the extra money? Like, let's say they're really, really good at fundraising for the station. The money has to be reinvested back into the station.
Which could be?
It might be towards the staff that's needed to program the station. They might decide to do paid staff instead of all volunteers. It could be, the lease for the antenna is very, very expensive. New York rents for studio space, very, very expensive. So you have to do a lot of fundraising for that.
My other question is, and I don't have access to the bylaws right now because my computer died, but the bylaws speak to the disposition of assets, the sale, exchange, transfer, or other disposition. And it seems to me that a signal that goes out of the operational control of Pacifica has essentially been disposed of for all intents and purposes in terms of the kind of involvement that that Pacifica has always represented.
You've got to run out of time.
I'm sorry?
Coco.
Yeah, I understand your question. Your question has to do with if Pacifica has pretty much allowed a third party to operate the station, isn't that like a sale of substantially all of the assets? And I will confess that I have not reviewed the Pacifica bylaws, so I can't speak to what they say, but I can speak generally. When a membership organization has those types of clauses in them, that the members get to vote, or a substantial majority gets to vote on the sale of or disposition of assets. This is not the sale or disposition of the asset. It would be when the time comes for this, if someone had an option, then it might be necessary to get the approval of the membership because they would have the right to exercise that option. And then when that happens, certain things are triggered and, it would be way too quick to it would be subject to negotiation, basically, because you'd have to build that into the approval or get prior approval if it's an option.
Okay. I'm going to ask that if there's someone from the public who has not asked a question, that they get the person who hasn't asked a question come forward, and that the two guys who have already asked questions have to hang on. We may or may not get to you. Okay. Is there anyone from the public who has not asked a question? No. The young lady. No, okay, fine. Thank you. And Carolyn, I know you've submitted a couple of questions. You're fine? Okay. And the next person who didn't ask a question was Kim Kaufman.
Kim Kaufman, KPFK. I guess that maybe I'm working backwards or I'm not sure. My understanding is there are people on this board who have flat out said they want what I think might be a signal swap, get the money. Are either of these that kind of deal? And how do we not get that deal?
That's a different situation than these program service agreements.
Right. Would it preclude it? Would it... Because there are people who said that they want a signal swap, and how does that work
Pacifica,
around, like, not doing that?
If Pacifica entered in...
And we're not discussing that either.
We're not discussing that.
But we should be, because that is in the mix for some people.
I don't know if that's in the mix, if it's on the agenda. I would say
it's
that
somebody's
if...
somebody's agenda.
if let's say Pacifica got an offer while the program service... Let's say you entered the program service agreement, and let's say Pacifica, while the program service agreement is, during the term of the agreement, got an offer to purchase WBAI, the buyer would have to assume that contract with the programmer and live with that contract or come to its own arrangement if they decided to amend that contract. So the programmer would be protected in that regard. If the programmer had a right of first refusal, then the programmer would have a right to match that offer. If there was an option associated with the program service agreement, Pacifica would not be able to sell it to anybody else.
Does that include a signal swap, that kind of deal?
That would probably, well, I don't think that Pacifica would be able to do that without the consent of the programmer, because that would potentially alter what it is that they would have the option to acquire.
Makes perfect sense. Okay. I think the next person is George. George did not. Did you? Had you
Tony's
not asked,
been waiting.
Wait. You didn't ask a question initially. No. I'm sorry.
Neither did I.
Okay. So I'll go. I'll go.
Going this way.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go. Jose Luis, George, and then Tony. Okay, go ahead, Jose Luis. I don't see any public waiting. So.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, in that case, are there people who have not addressed the board on this matter yet waiting to be heard? Come forward, please. Wait. Yeah, questions only, please. And you have 1 minute.
WPFW. Hello?
Yeah.
WPFWC committee, concerned members and supporters of WPFW. My question is very simple. What is a signal swap?
A signal swap is where there's one licensee in the market that already has a station and they want to change frequencies. So they would go, because the New York market, WBAI is on a commercial channel and has a robust signal. Someone who, like a commercial operator in New York, might have a weaker signal, and they would be willing to pay Pacifica some substantial amount of money to exchange signals. Pacifica would still have a signal, but it may not be as good. That would be the motivation if there were a signal swap.
Second question. Would a, under such an agreement, would the new person coming in, new entity, have the right to take over the transmitter?
It would be up to them whether they wanted the transmitter or they have their own brand new transmitter that they would rather use and Pacifica would use. That's an engineering question too, because I don't know what's involved in changing out the crystal or whatever it is. If that's in the transmitter or in the antenna, I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But it is negotiable, as I hear you?
It's always negotiable.
Everything's negotiable. Thank you. All right, Jose Luis.
These LMAs, PSOAs, are these just outsourcing to fire employees at WBAI and undo our labor agreements with them?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the last part of your question. You said outsourcing to whom?
To whoever the highest bidder.
A lot of times you could view that as what it might be, but it's up to the board. There might be intangibles that are part of these offers that you wouldn't want to just take the highest bidder in that sense. There might be things that you like about a particular a potential programmer that you think would serve the Pacifica mission better than someone who's offering a lot more money.
And the second part was, are these LMAs, PSOAs, a method to fire employees and get rid of unions?
When you only need two employees, yeah, that would mean that if you had more than two full-time equivalent employees, that they would no longer be needed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead. This is questions only. You have a minute to ask a question, okay?
Who's on the fine? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Pete Tucker from WPFW's local station board. A previous speaker, Jim, who's on WBAI's CAB and Finance Committee, he found a follow-up question that he had he wanted to clarify that you mentioned that it's whether it's legal or not, whether the people who are bidding, their names can be released, and specifically, you said it can or depends on the contract. So in the contract that the bidders have signed, does it or does not say that those names can be revealed?
I don't know without taking another look at them. And I can't say off the top of my head.
And is there some way that they can, because they want to know more information, or some way that,
and they're not contracts yet. These are just proposals, which Pacifica has not accepted any of them yet.
Right.
I mean, we've received them, but they haven't been accepted.
Is there a way that they can find out with some certainty whether this board can or cannot legally release that information to them? They want to know that.
By looking at the proposals, and this, and it would be a determination of the board whether they want to do that.
Thank you.
So, Margie, can they get some conclusion as whether they can or can't find that out?
Okay, let me say this. I don't know how this works exactly, but we've got RFPs. I've seen them all. Some of them do request confidence. They say that they're, you know, in confidence, and that's a confidentiality that we have to maintain. Some of them don't say that. I would think that if we, asked people if we could release them, and they said yes, we could do it, but I don't know. So I don't know the answer to that question, but we can work on it. I'm going to call on Tony next.
I could go.
Oh, George is back.
I had a phone call
from
my daughter.
He signaled to me. I didn't see you come back in. Go ahead, George.
But he dropped it. Suppose Pacifica was to buy a building with a sizable mortgage. Could you make an agreement with the programmer to pay off the mortgage over the course of the licensee agreement, with the understanding, and call that operating expenses, with the understanding that at the end, Pacifica owns the building?
If the studios were in that building, and that's where the station was operated from, that could be negotiated into the agreement.
And the FCC would have no problem with that.
So long as it's in proportion to what part of the building is used for the studios. If there's like a 10-story building and one story is used for the station, then really you couldn't charge the other 9 floors back into that.
Got it.
Okay, thank you.
Trust me, I'm sure a lot of clever people have tried to figure out an end around event. And really it has to do more with like an option or some other agreement relating to some benefit that goes to Pacifica that you could that's not related to the station, that could be folded in. So there could be a number of collective agreements. But for the station programming agreement, it has to be limited to the operating costs of the station.
Okay, board members who have already asked questions are not going to get another bite. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. We're just like no time. Tony Norman is the last board member to be recognized to ask a question.
Yeah. First, I want to start by saying I disagree with your assessment that these type of leases are not an asset under the definition of our bylaws, particularly the nature of Pacifica, a membership organization, and that this has to be ratified by the membership. When you look at the specific terms of the bylaws, and we are a radio station, you're essentially leasing time, and that's an asset, that time. So but the question I want to ask, the ultimate question of all of these questions, is it boils down, does it not, to the agreement that this organization make with those organizations. All of those questions boil down to what we put in that agreement, what we want and what we don't want. So it essentially is going to boil down, if they choose to go in that direction, which I am not inclined to do, but if those who want to go in that direction, we need to scrutinize that agreement very, very well.
It's all boiled, those things do boil down to what's in the agreement. What I don't know, because I have not reviewed the Pacifica bylaws, is whether substantially all of the assets relates to all 5 radio stations or whether it's just 1 radio station, which would not be substantially all of the assets of Pacifica.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone from the public who has not had an opportunity to ask a question? Okay, I apologize, but yes.
I move we close the committee of the whole.
Thank you. In order to take up motions, let me just say this for people here. In order to deal with motions, we have to close the committee of the whole and go back to our regular board meeting. So Brian has just moved that we close the committee of the whole. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any opposition? Yes, Janice?
Just from the perspective of asking you to remember that a question did come in via email, and you did indicate, as I've read it, that you would ask that question.
Well, I thought that question was answered, so I apologize.
Okay. If you think so, fine.
The question was, what happens to the LSB, the local station board, under the agreement? And what I understood you to say was, Pacifica maintains its own structure, and we would. But what changes, I think, is that what authority the LSB has. That is, I think the LSB could, for example, direct the WBAI employees to behave in certain ways and to do certain things.
And I'm saying, in a theoretical sense, that's right, without having reviewed the bylaws. So I don't know how the local station board, what authority they have, but it would not change the fact that whatever you have in place is what you would continue to have.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Back to the motion. Is there any objection to closing the committee of the whole? Seeing none, we are now back in order. We have Serene Roberts. I saw a motion from you that came through on email. If you'd like to make that motion and motivate it, we could take it up now. Sure, I'll read it for you. Okay. You asked somebody who's... Okay. The motion is entitled Motion on Transparency of LMA PSOA Decision Making. And those of you who have computers, it's in your email. Whereas the Pacifica National Board's pending decision on whether to grant a local marketing agreement LMA/Public Service Operating Agreement, PSOA, to an outside entity to operate WBAI, and if so, to which entity, is crucial to the future of serving the listener community, and whereas openness of board decision-making is a key requirement of Pacifica bylaws, resolved that... the Pacifica National Board directs the executive director to, one, contact as soon as possible all the applicants currently under PMB consideration for an LMA PSOA at WBAI to request their written authorization for Pacifica to publicly release, A, the name of their organization, and, B, a summary of the key provisions in their application, excluding details of the financial offer, if any, and upon receiving any such authorization, publicly release as soon as possible all information authorized by the applicants to be released. Further resolved that all PMB discussion and decisions about WBAI, PSOA, LMA, except for the details of any financial arrangements, shall be done in open session. Is there a second to that motion? Okay, lots of seconds. Okay, so I would invite Serene to motivate her motion, and then we will have discussion.
Actually, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
I want to propose the tabling of my motion until after the motion from Director Jose Luis Fuentes is considered.
I don't see that one.
Who sent it?
Okay, I didn't get it. Jose Luis.
I can read it.
Let me see. I'm not sure how to do this. Once a motion is made and seconded and is on the floor, it belongs to the body. What the maker of the motion has requested is that we allow her motion to sort of lie in abeyance until we hear...
A motion to table is always in order and is not debatable.
Thank you. A motion. But you can't table to a specific time, right?
You cannot. You have to make a motion to take it off the table.
Got it. Okay.
When you want to take it off
the table. I apologize.
So procedurally...
You made a motion to table.
I made a motion with the intent to defer to Jose Luis's yeah. motion. So would postponement be better language to postpone my motion? Postpone consideration of my motion?
That would be debatable.
Oh, God.
Table it.
A motion to take off the table is also not debatable.
Okay.
Very well. I table.
Okay.
Question and process?
Hold on a second. Serene has made a motion to table her own motion. Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
Okay. Are there any objections to that motion? Seeing none, so ordered. Jose Luis, you have a motion?
Yes.
Who are you?
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. The motion...
Go ahead.
I move that the Pacifica Radio Foundation Board of Directors halt consideration of any LMA PSOAs for WBAI and return the discussion to the PNB with the informed written participation from the WBAI LSB to discuss other alternatives in 60 days.
Second.
Okay. Second motion.
Okay, so that's and I didn't receive it. I don't know what happened.
I sent it to the PNBPacifica.org, and then
I didn't get it.
Did anyone get it?
Did anyone get it? No.
Let's see.
Okay. PNB@Pacifica.org. Oh. Okay. It doesn't need to be on the private list. It can be on the
public
list.
So I sent it to the private list, and I also sent it to the public list, but the public list will not accept my emails, and Otis is fixing it.
Okay.
You sent it to KPFTX. You need to send PNB@Pacifica.
I did that, too.
Okay. That one went through.
Okay.
Okay. Well, in any event, in any event, having heard Jose, we actually dealt with motions before we had computers, you know. having heard Jose Luis's motion and that it was seconded, I invite him to motivate it at this point, and then we'll have discussion.
My motion is based on having a organization that is bottom up, and we need WBAI, we need the LSBs to give recommendation to this body of what they want for their future. We've heard other proposals last night from committees that will address their financial concerns. We've heard from members that have said that, and we looked at the finances where they're breaking even. Yes, they have some debt to pay, and we have to deal with that. But selling off and cutting off one of our arms is not the solution to fix the problem.
Okay, the floor is up. Thank you very much. I take it that the public is appreciative of this motion. The floor is open for discussion. Brian, you're frowning. What does that mean? Do you want to be on the list?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Point of information?
Yes.
Very quickly, I'd like to ask that we have the executive director come back in the room in the Absolutely. Event that there are questions very specific to this timeline that we would need to know when proposals were submitted and any other things that may affect a 60-day period.
Okay, would somebody please text her? I think we can't.
I'm just asking.
Please ask her to come back in the room. We're not gonna hold off on discussion until that happens. I'm sorry.
I wasn't asking that.
Thank you very much. Okay, Heather.